Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we have a listener request of Ehlers-Danlos disease. What do you know about it?
Okay, so let's, for people who just join us for the first time, let's just do an introduction. I'm Dr. Scott Looper.
And I'm Haley Fields.
Haley Fields, yeah. And so we do this show every week because we care about people and we want to help people live better lives. For real. That's actually why we do the show. It's funny, we don't sell anything on the show.
We don't make any money on the show.
At all.
It's just a little passion project.
That's exactly what it is. So, we have a pretty loyal following, and our followers occasionally make requests to do stuff. And so you told me that we got a request for the Ehlers-Danlos show. It's funny.
Which I've never heard of, so I'm excited for this episode.
You know, Ehlers-Danlos, normally we stick with stuff that everybody has and it's common.
Well, or that we see in the clinic frequently.
Oh, I've seen this frequently.
Oh.
Yeah. This is the thing that shows up.
Okay.
I'm not talking book knowledge. I'm talking practical knowledge, having worked the problem with people over and over again.
Have you seen it since been here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It comes in, for sure.
Okay.
So we talk about a lot of stuff, but we don't talk about everything, so This is one of the things that shows up. Let me just tell you what Ehlers-Danlos is. Ehlers-Danlos is a genetic problem. It's actually a group of problems. There's 13 different variations that have been identified. And what they are is a problem that people get in making collagen. Now, we are made up of collagen. We are basically head to toe a collagen. Collagen is connective tissue. So we got organs and we got muscles and we got, you know, teeth and nails and bones and such. And it's all held together by collagen. And collagen is absolutely necessary for our bodies to work. We don't make collagen at all. We're just blobs and it's not compatible with life. But there's lots of steps that go into making collagen, and those steps can be, you know, mutated or altered. It's not enough to stop the collagen from being formed, but it doesn't get formed correctly. So what we get with Ehlers-Danlos is faulty collagen that tends to be too stretchy. So when I was a kid, there were some of the kids in my school that were double jointed. Now, that was a weird name because they don't have two joints. They just have one joint. But they were just extra flexible.
So they would bend their fingers back to their wrists.
Yeah.
Or they'd pop their elbow out of their socket.
Right. They could do weird things like that. And I remember seeing pictures of people who could take their skin and stretch it really far out.
And they're like, take their legs and put it behind the back of their head.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
It turns out that those people probably had Ehlers-Danlos. They were just extra flexible is what they were.
Okay.
And so, you know, it was a cool thing. Except for it's not a cool thing because...
How would it harm somebody, right? Like if that
was... I was just getting there.
Yeah.
So what happens is you get loose and you're more likely to get injuries.
By being accident prone?
Well, prone is the word. It's just, you know, people in the course of their lives trip over stuff.
Being clumsy.
No, they're not clumsy. No, I take that. No, they don't have clumsy at all. What they are is when they fall, they can hurt things that normally wouldn't hurt because something stretched more than it would have otherwise. And so what happens is things get stretched and then they get injured by being stretched. You take a blood vessel and you stretch it, and it tends to leak. It tends to come undone. The little fibers tend to come undone. Or you bump something, and then things leak, and you get this big old bruise, where a normal person would go, wow, ow, that hurt, and they rub it, right? They're good to go. People with Ehlers-Danlos go, bam, and now they have a bruise all the way down their arm. That's what you get.
Mm-hmm.
You're loose. Your connective tissues are loose is what they are. And so it becomes a real problem. Here's the tricky thing about Ehlers-Danlos. You can't tell someone has it. It's not like tattooed on their forehead. They look like normal people doing normal stuff. They're just like regular people, except for they're prone to these injuries. So when you're in school with them and you're running and you're playing soccer and somebody trips and falls down on the ground, most kids just hop up and keep going. And somebody goes, ow, and they're rubbing their knee and they're dragged off the field. You go like, wow, what happened?
Right.
See, Ehlers Danlos will set you up for that.
Uh-huh.
And you get a horrible bruise, and you just, you what ends up happening is you spend a lot of your time in pain.
Yep.
And you don't know why, because you can't tell that you're different from everybody else, but you are.
Mm-hmm.
These people are different. Now, there's different flavors of Ehlers Danlos. Remember I told you there are 13 different kinds. Some of them are really bad. And these people get picked up early because kids bruise and they you know, their joints go, that pop out of place, and they do, you know, they really just don't hold together very well. Other people are subtle as heck. They look like normal people. They function like normal people. They're just a little more flexible. I've always been double jointed, right? And yet they have this thing that just sucks the energy out of their life.
And they don't have any energy.
Well, imagine, you got connective tissues are coming undone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's your body going to do? Is it going to go and fix them? And what? How does that happen? It takes energy. You got to eat food, and then your cells got to work hard, fixing all the time. And they sometimes can't get it done because there was too much damage. And so that you end up exhausted because this is an energy suck. Mm-hmm. It's pulling the energy out of your body. Now, people with Ehlers Danlos, they know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm thinking of all those people I saw, and then I'm talking to them, how are you doing? What's going on? How's your life? And they say, I was fine until I went on a walk, not a hike, not a run. I went on a walk, and I came back exhausted from the walk. It didn't add energy to me. It made me more tired. All I did was walk around the block, and somehow or other, my body's coming undone. COVID was absolutely horrid for these people because COVID encouraged us to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they end up doing is falling apart. Now, let me get to the end of the show right now. Here's the end of the show. There is no cure for Ehlers Danlos, but you can live a full and happy life with it.
I could imagine this being so devastating.
If you compensate.
So
these people have a disadvantage. Their connective tissue doesn't work very well, which is a thing. But there are other parts of your body that can compensate for that weaker connective tissue. Okay, so your knee will stretch in weird and strange ways. So in order to compensate for that, you need to have strong muscles around your knee. Hold it in place.
Would they wear braces?
You can. Braces tend to be helpful in the short run and harmful in the long run.
Okay.
Helpful in the short run because, look, I have extra support. But now the strength that you would have had by using your knee, you don't get as much. And
because
so,
it's being supported.
Because
so
it's
then
being supported.
Would they do strength training?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. So in order to live with Ehlers Danlos, and this is what I tell everybody with Ehlers Danlos, there's more to say about. So remember, I'm skipping the middle of the conversation. Let me just jump into the end because that's, you know. Anyways, we'll come back to the middle. But the key with Ehlers Danlos is you have to think like you're an athlete. Now, these folks say, I'm not an athlete because if I'm an athlete, I get hurt. I understand that. You have to be an athlete who is very smart, and you have to spend your life exercising to build your body up. That's the trick. So anybody that's Ehlers Danlos, I'm telling you right now, that's the trick. You got to figure out an exercise routine that's gentle, and you do it every day.
Yeah.
And then as you get stronger, you add stuff to it. And so you're always thinking. Part of your mind is always thinking, how can I build myself up? How can I strengthen myself? And this is a consciousness that you're doing all the time. You're looking for ways to build yourself up. Now, I'll come back to some more specifics on this, but let me go back to some of the earlier things that I missed. So your connective tissues are too flexible. Now remember, your whole body's made of connective tissues. Your blood vessels are made of connective tissues. Your liver is held together by connective tissues. The connective tissues go everywhere, holding everything together. Your teeth are held in by connective tissues. So these people tend to have organ problems, they tend to have teeth problems, they tend to have blood vessel problems, they tend to have, you know, tired problems from just trying to fix everything all the time, brain problems from exhaustion from doing all this thing as well. So they have a whole collection of things. And one of the keynotes of this condition is inability to manage your blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about POTS, mm-hmm. postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. Ehlers-Danlos and POTS are
cousins.
Yeah, cousins. They're related. Okay. So people, not everybody with Ehlers-Danlos has POTS, and not everybody with POTS has Ehlers-Danlos, but there's a big overlap between those two conditions. Lots of people with Ehlers-Danlos have POTS, and lots of people with POTS have Ehlers-Danlos. So whenever I see one, I look for the other. Now, how do you diagnose Ehlers-Danlos? First of all, it's diagnosed primarily based on the symptoms. Hyperflexibility.
Would it be a genetic test?
Yeah, so if you could take your finger and bend it back and touch your wrist, right?
Yeah.
You pretty much, that's a sure sign of it. You got it.
Okay.
No, people can't do that. Look how far I am from that.
Right.
Thing, right?
Yeah.
I did not have Ehlers-Danlos.
No, I was not the kid licking my elbow.
Yeah, so there's that.
Yep. Right?
So people have that. Also, they tend to have skin that's a little thinner. It's more flexible and
stretchy.
It has a little teeny bit of crinkles. Back in the old days, there was this thin paper they used to wrap cigarettes with. They called it cigarette paper. And so people got a look of what cigarette paper is, and their skin was looking like that. So they call it cigarette paper skin. Except for, who smokes? And why does he even eat cigarette paper anymore?
Yeah.
It's this weird thing. The old days, we just inherited how we talk about it.
Okay.
But it's thin, crinkly skin.
Okay.
You get the thin, crinkly skin. So what you want to do is you want to build up your connective tissues as best you can. And it turns out there's a bunch of vitamins that are actually helpful. Now, vitamins a lot of times are overblown. You know, unless you got a Frank deficiency, vitamins don't really make much of a difference. If you got enough vitamins to get the basic job down, you hold together. Maybe you could do a little bit better if you load up on extra stuff in certain particular ways, but it doesn't really help that much, but not in this case. In this case, the vitamins really help. So the most important vitamin is vitamin C.
Hmm.
Vitamin C is a vitamin. It's a necessary nutrient for us. Because it's glue. It acts as glue.
It's sticky.
It glues our connective tissues together. It's almost, molecularly, it's almost exactly the same as glucose. It's glucose with a little wing off to one side. But it's so much like glucose that if you take vitamin C and you check your blood sugars, vitamin C will make your blood sugars go up. Now, it's not sugar, but it'll pick up on the meter as if it was sugar.
Interesting.
Though it's interesting, isn't
yeah.
it? It's really, really sticky.
And I think about all of our cancer patients who are being treated with vitamin C infusions.
And that's a different story. It's not because of the stickiness. It's because it's... Anyways, well, that's another show.
Yeah, forget that's it. A side
So let's go back to the sticky. So what you want to do is you want to make sure you have ample amounts of vitamin C. So everybody with Ehlers-Danlos needs to take vitamin C. This is just a normal thing. Everybody needs to do it. It's a basic. Because it'll glue you together. You will hold together better. You will bleed less, and you will get injured less by taking vitamin C, okay? So you have to be able to tolerate the exercises. Remember I told you, everybody with Ehlers-Danlos has to be an athlete. This is required. It sucks to be you. You gotta be an athlete. You're gonna have to exercise the rest of your life in order to have a life that you can get anything done and do anything and not just fall apart. You have to be fit.
Mm-hmm.
That's doable. I mean, it's not like, you know, there's worse fates than having to be fit. It's a thing, you know.
Right.
Some people do it just for fun.
Yeah.
They just kind of like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're one of those people that I hope you like it because you won't have
you're
to do
gonna
it.
You're going to have to. Yeah, you're going to have yeah. to like it.
So vitamin C helps hold you together as you're exercising so you don't tend to injure things and fall apart. Oh, and an aside. There are certain sports that people with Ehlers-Danlos shouldn't do. Football.
Soccer?
Where you run. Soccer's okay. You could run around. Maybe if you're playing soccer really hard and you're whacking each other, and they do.
Yeah, soccer's pretty
it's a bad idea.
Aggressive.
Now, if you're out not whacking each other and you're playing easy and you're running around, you're having a good time, it's fine. You know, in theory, basketball is not a contact sport either.
Yeah.
There's rules against it. You whack somebody, it's called a
foul. I would think gymnastics would be a good sport.
Too much stress. Gymnastics is excellent for people with Ehlers-Danlos, but not competitive.
Okay.
You don't want to take it to the nth degree because it's not good.
Mm.
It's too much,
mm-hmm.
and you get injured, and then you get wrecked. So you don't want to do anything to the extreme. What you want to do for Ehlers-Danlos, and really just for life in general, is what you want to do is you want to set up daily stretching and warm-up. You want to every day... Do stretching, not heavy-duty stretching, but just warm, stretching enough to warm your body up. I, when I use the word exercise, people imagine that I'm out running hard or lifting heavy weights and I'm in a full-body sweat. No, you don't need to do that. What you do is you just go out and you do gentle stretching and you do gentle warm-up stuff You kick your feet in the air.
Air squats.
Yeah, stuff like that. Some simple, easy things that warm your body up and stimulate the repair mechanism. That's the key. We're not trying to break things. The opposite. We don't want to break anything. But we need to jiggle things in order to get the cells to come in and do the repair.
So, like, jumping jacks?
Jumping jacks is great. That's an excellent thing to do. Anything that gets you moving and gets your blood flowing and gets things warming for you. So, calisthenics is great. You know what? Actually, the best thing ever is Tai Chi. It's flowy. It has this gentleness to it, yet it warms and stretches every single part of your body. So Tai Chi turns out to be like tailor-made for people with Ehlers-Danlos. It is fabulous. It's super, super helpful. Let's go back to the vitamins. Vitamin C is a key vitamin. Vitamin D is a key vitamin. Now, vitamin D, people think of that as for like calcium absorption. Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, and
that's one of the thousand things that vitamin D does. The vitamin D helps with immune system regulation, and it also helps with connective tissue regulation as well. I had a nice lady who came to see me a few years ago, and she had had 3 surgeries on her neck because she had this chronic neck pain. I ran the test, found out she had low vitamin D. We put her on vitamin D, and we fixed her neck.
Ah.
Her comment was, I wish I would have seen you before the 3 surgeries.
Uh-huh.
But whatever, you know, you take it as you come. That was her problem.
Yeah.
She had low vitamin D. She needed more vitamin D than most people do. She's just one of those folks. Another vitamin that's super important with Ehlers-Danlos is B12. B12 is necessary for DNA replication, and you're having to redo a lot of cells because the cells are getting broken by not being held into place correctly with the connective tissue. So there's a lot of wear and tear that your body gets with Ehlers-Danlos. So there's a lot of cellular turnover. So you need B12, and you need folate for the same reason. B12 and folate work together in different ways to be able to aid in cellular.
Can you get like a complex of B12 and folate together, or are they two separate? Doesn't
matter. Have you want to do it? It's either way. It's whatever's more convenient. So I'm kind of making a case for a multivitamin, and I guess you could. But the thing
like
is, the multivitamin won't have enough vitamin C. You got to be taking a minimum of 1,000 milligrams twice a day, maybe double that. More vitamin C is better, really, is what it is. I'd shoot for 4,000 a day, maybe even 6,000 a day, depending on what your bowel tolerance is.
Mm-hmm.
And people with Ehlers-Danlos tend to suck vitamin C up, and they tolerate higher doses of it, and they feel better for it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Minerals are helpful, too, not because you'd really need them to make connective tissue, just because things tend to run better. Magnesium is in short supply in the American population, so people tend to do better with magnesium as well. It's not a linchpin thing for their cases, just a way to kind of keep healthy. And so there's a real good reason for taking some extra stuff, and there's a very better reason for actually getting your nutrients not from pill form, but from food form. So it's the same list we talk about every time we do the show. You need protein in your diet because you're having to remake your protein all the time with Ehlers-Danlos. So protein turns out to be vital.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much protein, not more than you can digest, but you want to get an adequate amount of protein. So like, I don't know, 2-3 ounces, 4 ounces, 5 ounces, maybe, depending on how active you are, 3 times a day. So basically, I'm using too many numbers. Eat protein with every meal.
Mm-hmm. There it is. Mm-hmm.
About a palm-sized portion. Palm-sized portion of protein with every meal. And the easier it is to digest, the better it is for you. Fish turns out to be excellent. Eggs are good, too. Fresh meats are good. Dried meats, preserved meats, cured meats, those are all bad. They're harder to digest. So generally stay away from those. Or if you do eat them in very small amounts, and then eat other protein to make up for the fact you're not getting enough protein. You need lots and lots of bioflavonoids. So they tend to make the vitamin C work better. So, again, too many big words. Colored fruits and vegetables. You look for color. And make sure you get at least 4 handfuls in a day. 6 is better. And then also eat a wide variety. Don't eat the same thing every day.
Now, this sounds kind of like general rules of living.
Yes.
Not so much for Ehlers-Danlos, yeah. But
well, exactly.
This is everybody.
Yeah, and this is good for everybody. But the people with Ehlers-Danlos are lucky in a way because they're highly motivated to stay healthy. Because if they don't, they fall apart. Because everybody would fall apart. But Ehlers-Danlos falls apart faster, worse, more intensely, they suffer and they get knocked out of their life. Now they have to just sit around and suffer. So, yeah, if you got Ehlers-Danlos, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So what you want to do is you want to stay on top of it. You want to set up a system to where you got plenty of nutrients coming in because you need them to do the rebuild. Mm-hmm. You got to keep your connective tissues in the best shape they can, even though they're faulty. If they're not so faulty they don't work, you got something to work with. You just want to make sure you bring it up as high a level as you can. And you need to have your muscles work to compensate for the fact that the connective tissues are too loose. And they will actually compensate. You'll get stronger joints, more stable joints, and you'll also be more fit and coordinated and just generally glow with health so that you can live a full and normal life.
So I would think creatine might be a supplement that would be beneficial.
Maybe. See, the key, if you're trying to build muscle the best you can, that's the thing that'll be helpful.
Uh-huh.
But what I find works better is just to actually eat food.
Okay.
Now, I'm sorry, I'm prejudiced against supplements. I hate taking them.
Taking supplements, adding things, yeah, it's difficult.
I hate doing it. I just don't like, as a doctor, I don't want to do it. I'll always try to figure out some way to solve this problem without doing supplements. Now, if supplements work, I'll be the first one to admit it. And they do work with this. There's a short list of supplements I just gave you that really help with Ehlers-Danlos. The other thing to consider with Ehlers-Danlos is you got this autonomic nervous system that doesn't work. The connection is not particularly clear, at least not in my mind, why when you have a connective tissue problem would your autonomic nervous system kind of crap out? That I can wave my hands.
And that's what POTS is.
Yeah, that's what POTS is. So why is there a connection between those things? The hand waving comes with the fact that the lining of the walls of blood vessels are made of connective tissue, so they tend to be more stretchy and more flexible. So when you stand up, they tend to flex, and then your blood goes to your ankles or your legs, drains out of your head, and now you're all dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can stimulate the muscle part of the blood vessels, they will compensate for the weakness in the connective tissue. Every blood vessel, particularly the arteries, has smooth muscle. Not everyone. The capillary beds don't have any smooth muscle. But any blood vessel of any size mm-hmm. has got some muscle in it. And some of them are super muscly. The big arteries have lots of muscle in them. And so if you can get that muscle to squeeze. Now, the thing about this muscle is it's smooth muscle, and it's not under voluntary control. Now, having said that, there are people who know how to control their smooth muscle. Those people, they figured something out. There is, in fact, a route to get your brain to change the way your blood flows in various parts of your body. But it takes some practice.
Yeah.
You got to be like a yogi, right, to figure that out. But for regular people in their regular lives, the system runs on adrenal hormones. If you get enough adrenal hormones, stress hormones, cortisol being a key one, catecholamines being another one, if you get enough of these hormones coming in, they trigger the blood vessels to squeeze
mm-hmm.
and keep your blood up in your head. So these people do better to take adrenal supplements.
To lower or?
No, to strengthen their reflex constriction of blood vessels to keep blood up in their head. I could tell you, I lost you there. Let me say it again. When your connective tissues are loose,
yes.
Your blood vessels are stretchy.
Mm-hmm.
So when you stand up, your blood just goes to the ground because it stretches.
Right.
Because it's a column. And it's heavier on, means there's pressure on the bottom, which pushes the blood vessels wider. So the blood tends to fall uh-huh. out of your head. Bam, now you just hit the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you got this big old bruise because you passed out.
Right.
So Ehlers-Danlos people pass out. They have a tendency to pass out.
They get faint frequently.
Yeah, they get faint because they stand up, their blood just drains down into the lower
parts. What
about
people with POTS?
Same story.
Okay.
Exactly. This is the same story. 100% the same story. Same mechanism, same everything. This is the overlap between POTS and Ehlers-Danlos. They both of them stand up and faint and fall down.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, if you're doing it right this very second, the solution is to squat. Because now you moved your head down to where the blood is.
Yep.
Because the blood's down low, and you go and put your head down low, and it squeezes all the blood back up in your head again.
And then from squatting to standing, you don't.
Yeah,
have
you
want to
be careful about that.
Okay.
You want to muscularly squeeze because your actual muscles you have control over, like your leg muscles and your core muscles. See, I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
I'm pushing blood up into my head, right? Because it's like a Kegel, right?
Right.
So I just squeeze the blood up, and it's going up to my head. You can do that, and you can stand back up. Now this is going to get tiresome. Every time
it
you bend over to pick up a nickel.
mentally draining when you have to make that mind-muscle connection all the time.
Yeah, you're going to plug in the vacuum.
Yep.
And now you're going to stand up and you get dizzy. So what can we do? Dr. Luber, is there anything we can do to help with this? Yes, there is. You can take adrenal supplements. And what they do is they feed the system. They provide basic materials and stimulation to get your adrenal glands working better. We do it all the time. I mean, there's not a day that goes by that we don't treat somebody's adrenals because it's such a common problem. Modern life drains people's adrenals. People with Ehlers-Danlos lose it even more because they need it even more. And so everyone I've ever seen with Ehlers-Danlos, without exception, is low in adrenal. Every single one. And so we have to put them on adrenal stuff to get their blood pressure to come back up. Teach them how to not fall over and faint. But then really the solution is to take all this other stuff. By the way, the vitamin C also helps. I didn't mention that vitamin C helps with adrenal function, and it does.
Okay.
It actually is it's a cofactor in the formation of these adrenal hormones. And so another reason to take vitamin C. Now, it's not the only thing that works, but it's a thing. So if you can do that, and then other stuff as well, you can get this thing to turn. The thing is, I don't want to paint too dire a picture here. There are people with Ehlers-Danlos that you can't tell. It doesn't show. They look totally normal, and they have normal lives. Uh-huh. But once you get to know them, they do not have a normal life. And what they have to do is they have to work harder than regular people to live well. I'm sorry, it's a genetic defect. And yet the good news is in fact, you can compensate for it. It is not a death sentence. You can live a perfectly healthy, better than most people, life and have a fabulous life with this condition. There's definitely hope here. Now, there's lots of different kinds. Some are worse than others, but whatever you get what you get, and you just got to work it as best you can, and you just have to compensate as best you can with whatever the kind you have. If you're really curious whether you have it or not, there is a test. It's a genetics test, and what they'll do is they'll check if you have the mutation that is characteristic of Ehlers-Danlos. Except for the most common kind of Ehlers-Danlos, there is no test. Now, there's 13 of them that have been identified. 12 of them have a test.
And then the 13th is?
Just happens to be the most common.
Okay.
And it doesn't have a test. So just because you come up normal on the test doesn't mean you don't actually have this. So that makes it tricky for the diagnosis. But, well, whatever. It is what it is. The most important thing is, are you stretchy? Are you lightheaded? Do you bruise easily? Do you have thin skin? Get tired all the time? You know, that kind of thing.
And you can tell, usually, when patients will come in and they'll say, you know, this is what I'm experiencing. You can look at them and just say, okay, based on your cigarette paper... Skin.
You got that look to it. You got.
Would they have like bags under their eyes or dark circles?
Maybe, not always. Okay. Not usually.
Well, I would just think so.
But could,
with
you
thinner
could.
Skin.
It's a possibility. Yes, yeah. The answer is a possibility. They can. Okay, I think. Are we good?
I think that pretty well covers it.
Did we fill up all our time?
Yep.
Well, look at that.
Perfect. Right on time, Dr. Looper.
Hey, thanks for the request. It actually helps because I would never have done a show on Ehlers-Danlos. It's not common enough, but it's interesting and it is common enough.
Right.
I mean, I'm in general practice here and I've seen, I don't know, I'd say half dozen patients over the years come in with Ehlers-Danlos. And so I got, you know, some experience with it. So yeah, keep the requests coming.
Yeah, wonderful.
We're listening.
Thanks, Dr. Looper.
My pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.